By my friend, producer, director, editor, writer, Gabriel Romero. Thanks for coming, Gabe. How are
you
doing?
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here. You left off actor.
And I was just saying how great of an actor you were. Gabe has studied with the deepest kind of teacher you can. You mentioned people like Al Pacino, and who else?
He was with John Boyd the night he got the call for Midnight Cowboy. He's friends with Dustin Hoffman, Robert De Niro, those guys. Yeah.
Right there. Hey, I'm walking here in L.A. If you walk in L.A., by the way, thanks for listening to The Call Sheet, hailed as a bone machine. If you want to call in with a topic, a question, a concern, 1-800-893-9562. That number again is 800-893-9562.
That's right. We're live.
Yeah, we're totally live. And if you're listening on a podcast, we're not live. You could call in during Bad Advice or Stoner Chicks.
Or could call in next Saturday. When we're here.
Who are we going to get as a guest?
I don't know. I got a couple ideas of people we should call. Perhaps the young lady starring in our videos. See if we can get the brilliant and lovely Michelle Bear.
Too bad she's married. She's a fine actress. She listens. She does it. She jumps. My friend Jeremy Kasten, who's a horror schlock film director, writer from Maryland, from Baltimore. Jeremy Kasten said he would hire strippers and hookers for a day, because after the end of the day, the blood and the effulence. What do you call that? Come, semen. These movies they have a flying dead baby, a huge zombie with a 4-foot zombie cock. Jeremy Kasten, by the way, brilliant director, look him up. He would burn them out and they wouldn't come back the second day. So we always had to schedule all of their scenes in one day and then do the worst to them by the end of the day. We, however, have not burned out Rochelle, even though bumping her on the sidewalk and subjecting her. All sorts of walking in sexy heels and pump walking. She's down.
Fucking 100-degree, like, hot sun, standing in direct sunlight over what looked like a very refreshing pool.
Wes, I haven't been in your pool, Gabe, but
it's
a nice
pool. It's
you
nice.
Can swim.
It's triangular.
In view of the Hollywood 101 freeway. It's nice.
Yep. The Celebrity Center, where John Travolta is there every weekend harassing masseurs.
I wanted to put that in the background of one of our shots. You're like, no, don't do it. Don't get us.
No way.
Yeah, John Travolta, man. That's an interesting charge. But all of them dropped. All of them spurious.
You give them enough money, they'll drop their charges.
Paid off enough, you think. The Master, have you seen it?
No.
Do you want to see it?
Kind of no.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you see There Will Be Blood?
Yes, I did see There Will Be Blood.
You don't like it? I've watched it like 10 times.
You know what I saw today? The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
And?
Oh, I loved it. It's so good. It's so good. And Emma Watson, Hermione, she's just fantastic in it. It's just absolutely brilliant. Ezra Miller, who plays her stepbrother and partner in crime. He's fantastic.
Step so they can like get it on and it's okay.
Well, he's gay.
Oh, okay.
He's gay. And so. It's such a great movie. And I'm not generally a big fan of movies that there's not necessarily one specific tangible thing that the main character is trying to achieve. He's just trying to fit in high school, and he ends up meeting this group of friends who are all seniors. He's a freshman, and they kind of take him in, and It kind of follows his year. And generally speaking, I'm not a big fan of that. I want to know what he's going after. I want to see him go after it. I want to see him lose it. And I want to see him redeem himself. You know, like I'm...
So you didn't know what the movie was about? Or well, was it a good journey?
Really. It was a great journey.
Was there a final confrontation and ending? Or was that
It's unlike any of those movies that I've seen before because I actually enjoyed it. And it's so I find it really uplifting. I've spoken with those who found it really depressing.
Nice.
But it's in theaters right now. Go see it.
Into the Wild.
You know? Mm-hmm. It stars Logan Lerman. And you know, know him from the
who's that?
That's the kid from like the Three Musketeers and Percy Jackson and the Olympians, the Lightning Thief.
That was good on an airplane. Yeah. That's a good movie.
He was in Gamer. He's kind of hot shit right now. And 310 to Yuma, 23, The Butterfly Effect. Mm. But it's kind of an all-star cast. It's Dylan McDermott, Kate Walsh.
All kind of dark choices. Yeah, he's got an interesting manager agent because those are all very like Butterfly Effect. That's subversive. It's an abortion movie, by the way.
Yeah.
What was the other stuff? 310 to Yuma. What a grim film.
Yeah. And so it's just it's.
Thank
such
you, Jeremy.
Great...
By the way, for the extra lift there.
Like it. Yeah. But yeah, no. It's such a great.
The perks of being a wallflower.
The perks of being a wallflower. Ezra Miller, Emma Watson, and Logan Lerman.
See, I kind of was a wallflower in the sense that I was a geek or a Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
Small group of like eight of us that like had 30 or 40 more digits above the most rest of the class in terms of IQ.
Right.
Were you a Dexter?
I don't know that I was so much a wallflower. I was certainly not popular. No.
What did you do at the school dances? Did you get out there and dance?
No, we didn't have school dances. I went to a private Baptist high school.
Dancing
is sex standing up.
4 inches.
You know, dancing is sex standing up. You don't dance. No
sex
way, man.
Sex standing up. Yeah.
It's crazy. And so it was definitely one of those. We had our equivalent was the Eagle Banquet.
And, okay, you know, what went asked, down? What kind of funky shit went down at the Eagle Banquet?
It was the end of the year awards banquet for all the clubs, all the sports teams, all the special academic groups, you know. And that was our formal affair. You got dressed up. You asked the girl you liked. You took you took them in, you know, a limo or whatever. And it was
who'd you ask?
Yeah. I don't remember. I do remember my senior year, I actually took two dates.
I'm such a bottom. I always waited till like Sadie Hawkins Day until the girl asked me. I'm so fucking...
I was so pissed. We were like an hour late.
Did you do the limo? Did you group up on the limo?
I never did the limo.
Okay.
I did 1 year borrow my dad's car because for the majority of my high school career... I when he bought a new car, I got his hand-me-down, and he had an 87 Chevy Sprint. Like, the car was made of aluminum. Me and a couple of my buddies on the soccer team, like, literally picked it up one day and put it on the sidewalk or something. I don't remember. It was funny. on like, our first day of class, my senior year, we were in my first period class, which was Bible. And she had us move the desk. We were all sitting around in a circle. And we went around, we said our name, we said something else, and then a miscellaneous fact about ourselves. And mine was, you know, my name is Gabe Romero. I want to be an actor, and I drive a Chevy POS. and my teacher was like, "You can't say that. That's an abbreviation for a curse word. And what kind of car do you drive?" And I said, I drive an 87 Chevy Sprint. And her face just went white. She's like, "I drive an 87 Chevy Sprint." And so, like, my first day of class, my first period of class, insulted the teacher. Way to start off your year. Way to start that off.
Did you actually drive one?
I did. No, okay. I drove it. I drove an 87 Chevy Sprint, and it was a tiny, it was essentially a lawnmower with doors. It was two-door hatchback. The thing rattled at 50. Like, you know, just, it was a mess. But,
my first car was the, we had a few at the time. My dad had the El Camino. Oh. My mom, we had an old Datsun 610 that was rusted in the floorboards from the beach air. It had been at the beach since like 76, I think. Yeah, it was old. We had the Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme Brougham diesel.
Right.
With T-tops. Nice. Okay. I turned 16. I think, okay, I make money. I've been acting forever. I'm get a great car. No, here, it's three frames. It's sturdy. It's GM. It's made in Michigan. This will save you in case you get in a car accident. You're too young. See, I also agree, by the way. I'm very conservative. I think the driving age should be lifted to 18. I think 16 is too fucking young to be driving around in a car. You know they're going to fucking pimp for beer out in front of fucking Willoughby and Wilcox and get some fucking beer. And they're going to drive around with like fucking cool, what do you call those? Wine coolers? Yeah, cigars. I'm so 90s. It's like, dude, thank you for your business. I think 16's way too young. They won't let you vote till you're 18, mm-hmm. but you can drive a lethal weapon at 16. What was your driver's license? How old were you when you drove? Did you get a car?
I got my learner's permit like right away. I got it as soon as I turned 15. And then for some reason, like I was a stupid kid and dicked around or whatever, but it took me a little longer to get my actual license. I was almost 17 before I got the license for whatever reason. Like I kept forgetting or whatever. Like it just, for whatever reason,
I was 16 on my birthday. Yeah. I'm out there. Me and my best friend, Gabe, growing up, went to driving school together.
Different Gabe.
Yeah. Different Gabe.
Right.
Gabe Jarrett of Real Genius.
Ah.
Yeah. And Fame. The series and the musical tour. Remember Glee?
I do.
Glee. Before Glee, Fame was having a resurgence and kind of helped with the musical coming back. I'm sorry. Gabe, Keith, a lot of love
Real
for Gabe.
Genius was one of my favorite movies as a kid, man. I fucking loved that movie.
What about that time we found you naked with a bowl full of Jell-O?
I was hot and I was hungry. I love it. Real Genius is hysterical.
Yeah, it's a great movie, man. It's
Can you
really great.
Pound a 4-inch nail into a 2x4 with your penis?
He was the best in that movie. I mean, that
Val Kilmer. That was
Val Kilmer was
top
so
secret
fucking good
and Real
that.
Genius.
Yeah,
between the two. Yeah, Real Genius was more grounded. He was totally relaxed. It was one of the best. I see Tombstone and Real Genius for Val Kilmer.
Definitely.
Tens.
Yeah.
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 After his like steroid fucked up face, salt and sea kind of a face, I was like not. I've enjoyed him as like camp bad guys in a few movies.
You can't forget Top Gun. Val Kilmer and Top Gun.
You can be my wingman. they did a lot of locker room scenes because they wanted to make it a sporting movie.
I wonder how many of those were Tom's idea.
Won a lot of towels, sweat, and no, that's, Rocky
we,
Four.
We
I was watching
Tom,
Rocky
we can't
Four.
Do any more locker room scenes? How about the beach? Can we play volleyball? Is that will that work?
Can we play volleyball and like? I love the one guy that like does the muscle pose.
They do that special high five, you know, where they high five on the top and the bottom.
Totally copy it. I did that for like 11 years after that.
I wonder how many takes Tom quote unquote missed and hit the guy's ass. But I'm sorry, it was an accident.
Erotic, homo, jets and guys and sticks and
missiles.
And they had to throw in who was the girl? Who's the private contractor? They brought Kelly McGillis. Totally a les. But no, I'm kidding. That was totally, and I didn't notice that at 12 or 14 and whatever when the movie came out. Now I watch it and I'm like, Wow. Okay. That'll play on OWN. Speaking of elections.
Because we were.
We were.
We were absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
We were speaking of erections, and we went from erection to election very smoothly there.
It was kind of like a really big left turn right there. Gabe and I have done a few public service announcements.
That's right.
On YouTube.
Doing our duty for the American public.
Yeah, man. Got to make product. As our good friend.
Well, and let's give credit where credit was due. Keith came to me with the idea one day, and he's like, let's do a short film, suspense thriller, spy movie. Guy gets a phone call, blah, 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 pitches me the idea. And then at the end of it, this thing happens, and it's a voting PSA. And I said, okay, great. So then I sat down at my desk and I started thinking about his idea. And I went, what if we did a series? We've got, 6 weeks until the election when he pitched me the idea. And so then I'm like, well, what if we do a series spoofing Hollywood genres? And we do noir, we do suspense, we do spy thriller, we do buddy cop, we do romantic comedy, we do, and then they just all started falling out of my head. And so we've put up two. We've got two up there.
And they're not pure. We thought it was going to be like horror, right. And it wound up being like suspense.
Yeah.
We don't know. We always have a couple ideas bouncing around. And then go for it on Mondays.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mondays.
We shoot like crazy men. We shot the first one, Vote Noir, with the talented Rochelle Bear. We shot it in 3 hours.
We come up with noir. Wait, did we talk about that before?
I pitched it as one of the ideas.
Yeah.
And we were sitting around the pool, drinking, hanging out, and I said, "Let's do noir. We can shoot it on Monday. I'll call my friend Rochelle," and we shot it in 3 hours. Cut it in 3 hours. Uploaded it that night, and.
That's why my production company is Soskos. Shoot on Saturday, cut on Sunday. But I love that. I used to shoot like music videos as a kid, like 18, 19. Right. And we'd shoot in an hour and cut it deck to deck on VHS to VHS. I had a super VHS camera.
Ooh.
600 Scanlight. The Cosby Show.
Right.
Which was first broadcast like high def or whatever. So I had that camera. I love tech. And would shoot these quick videos, and my rule of thumb was however long it took to shoot, that's how long it should take to cut. Nice ratio, by the way.
Yeah,
you're a master with that editing stuff.
I'm not a master. I get the job done.
You did.
I appreciate that, but there are many out there far more talented than I.
What do you use to edit?
I have Premiere, I have Final Cut Pro, but honestly, fastest thing I could cut them with was iMovie.
Yeah. Yep, iMovie.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that use iMovie to do some really cool stuff, actually.
It's down and dirty.
And it's I mean, they're...
And for the multiple chefs kind of thing going on with me and Gabe, it's like, no, do that shorter there, louder there, whatever. It's like, okay, drag and drop, and it's done. Mm.
It's basic. Apple really figured out how to make the user interface.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. Once I learned how to detach that audio, it's very nice. Very happy. Move shit around. Loop dialogue. I like the audio from this take, but this take looks better. let me fucking switch them. It was nice. It's super easy. It moves super fast. I can upload straight from iMovie to YouTube. Love it.
And the point is, do vote, because I don't know if you saw the debates, I don't know if you vote or registered. If we get like 36% people voting in California, we're lucky.
Right.
And we wield the most electoral college votes, 55 votes towards the 270.
The thing that's really frustrating to me is people like... And I'll be very straightforward. I'll say it here. I've said it everywhere. And most people who know me know how I feel. I do not vote for a president because I feel like the system we have for electing a president is broken and has been broken for a while. That said, I do vote. I vote for senator, vote for Congress, vote for local positions. I vote for I vote measures up or down. And there is a large portion of the ballot that is not partisan. We're talking about a lot of ballot measures. We're talking about we're talking about state and local court appointments. You know, we're talking about the stuff that governs local areas, your city, your town, your county. And most folks forget about it because it's number one, it's not partisan. And so if you just click on your ballot, vote Democrat, there's a third of your ballot that gets completely unvoted for. And of course, you know, that ratio.
You don't vote for president?
Nope. Don't vote for president.
I don't understand.
The box at the top of the ballot that says Obama, Romney, don't click either one. That's the way my ballot goes. Let me be very clear
here.
That's
an incomplete ballot. I don't think your whole ballot will even be counted at that point. They're like, you didn't even fucking vet. He's drunk. You didn't even fill in the fucking first thing. $2.2 billion spent on the campaign. This fucker didn't even check one box.
Let me be on record. I am not discouraging others from voting.
I was watching Brewster Millions. It's fuck vote none of the above.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't vote for president.
How long? When? Since who?
I don't remember.
What was your first vote for president? Did you ever vote for president?
I don't remember when I stopped. I may have voted in the first the Bush Gore election. I may have voted in that one.
Yeah.
But since then, no.
Big.
Just yeah. You know what? It's really complicated, but I'll put it this way. One of my biggest problems with it is the Electoral College, which was an institution founded when you needed to get a guy on horseback to carry the ballot count from your state to D.C. Back then it would have been in New York.
Is there any accountability to the Electoral College, like captains or whatever, that deliver that vote? Because there's somebody that sits there and goes, I've listened to this state vote, and I say our state is, and very rarely, like 3%, do they counter the popular vote of that state. But usually they fall in line.
But see, that's the other problem. That's the other problem. It is entirely possible in this country, and there are those who will say it has already happened.
I'm foaming at the mouth.
You can win the popular vote and lose the election.
Gore V. Bush.
You know? I mean, yeah. Whatever your feelings on that particular election.
That's when early on in the campaign, when Romney said, we've looked at the numbers and it looks like we could win the popular vote. Yay. I was like, what a schmuck. It's Electoral College. 270. Period.
Yeah. You know what, though? We have email. We have computers. We have information that travels in fractions of a second. Information these days travels at the speed of light. You don't need an electoral college. Let's ignore the fact that we only get two real choices for president. And those choices aren't made by us. I'm sorry, but they're not. You know, primaries make me laugh.
You do need the Electoral College to keep in line that they predicted the presidents for the next 20 years. They're pre-picked. They're pre-planned. And if you listen closely at the first debate, so many times did both candidates say, oh, I agree with him on this. Yeah, I agree with him on this. Listen to the things that they both agreed on. That's the thing your government's going to do anyway.
Yeah.
During the next 4 years. Raise the taxes or spend over here.
By the way, the American public is, for some reason, woefully uninformed. The executive branch is not the seat of power in this country.
It's a third of it. It's cool.
It's not even an equal third. When you're talking domestic policy, the seat of power in this country is Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Power to enact war, power to levy taxes, power to float new bills.
Power to change the Constitution. The blueprint House or Senate? Our country. Both.
Yeah, well.
535, mostly men, some women, mostly white, some other races. But, you know, let's be painfully honest.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening in. 1-800-893-9562 if your name is Pat or you just want to call in with a little fucking heat. This has been the least active Congress since 1918.
More days off.
They've retired early without passing a farm bill, which was much needed.
Desperately.
California has a great bill on GMO labeling, and I've seen it's 10 to 1 on the ratio of ads paying for it. It's confusing. Mm-hmm. You can label dog food, but not people food or this. It's like, no, let's not do this now. We have a caller.
Yay.
Caller from the 301. How are you? Welcome. Are you there? Hello? We have a caller. Hello? I'm going to bump up. I have like links. I can take control. Hello? I dropped him.
We're searching for the caller.
I know.
In the
caller was there, but maybe the volume was up. Very cool. They were pissed too. They look very red. And hello, 818-818.
Hello?
Caller, can we hear you? Hang in there, caller. We'll be turning you up in a minute.
Once we figure out how to work all this technology.
So we did it nonpartisan, right?
Yes.
Because I don't care if you're right, exactly. Left, up, down, fucking black, white, red, or brown.
And this was,
vote.
This was very
important
to me.
Take your civic duty.
Exactly.
It's not mandatory.
No.
I don't want a country that's a mandatory vote.
No.
Or mandatory chip, or mandatory test, or mandatory this or that. Stay out of my backyard, bedroom, and my Bible.
No, they're very nonpartisan. They're very, and again, you know, I wanted us to be very clear with the message, which isn't, you know, vote for president. No, it's vote. It's show up at the polling place, cast your ballot, let your voice be heard.
Midterm, city judge. I always get confused. And
city
during
council.
The thing, I'm like, I didn't really research all these things in Board of Education and this and that. So I just go party line. Like, oh, Democrat? A woman? Perfect. Sounds black or fucking Mexican. I'll fucking vote for her. Great. No, I really do. I'm very, like, very liberal, very left.
Just, so
I don't care. They have a sex scandal?
Issues,
great. Vote them in.
Don't care about whether or not they, you know, you're going to end up voting for a black woman who wants to implant a chip in your arm, and you're going to be like, fuck, I did this to myself.
You know? But I have a good script already on that, so I'll make money on that anyway. I'm very lucky and very happy that I have been paid to write a script. I made $500 on a spoof of the Titanic.
Nice.
Yeah. It was like 73 pages, and I made a six-month option, which is half of normal, which is better for me.
Yeah, no,
like,
absolutely.
It's timely. I'm like, and came down to me and another one. They chose the other one and didn't produce it. So I don't know if anyone got paid. I think the other one made half of what they were supposed to. If they were chosen, they made half.
Right.
And if they was produced and distributed, they made the other half.
Right. What do you care? You're making your own movies.
I keep writing. I'm stuck on like page 42.
We got to make, what about the feature you gave me? Let's make that. You got to do a rewrite like on it, but.
It's, I know. I have to. Five characters. I'll name them. I will. I'll listen to you. I'll name them. I'll make it clear. They still don't have to call each other's name. Carrie Ann. I hate it. Pete, have you told John what Melissa said to fucking Stuart? I don't know. Fucking Carrie hasn't talked to fucking Jessup yet. Fuck. I'm gonna call fucking Brian right now. I hate that. Caller, you're an 818. You're probably like chewing up fucking cell minutes, but hang in there. Are you there? Anybody there? No. I see you. You're lit up. Oh, let me bump up. There's another one. Drop this. I'm like hacking computers here. Bump up. None of our calls are screened and we're just getting, is there an earthquake I don't know about? Hello, 443. Thanks for calling. Can you hear me now? Nobody's there. Cool.
Let's just meet,
we apologize.
Me and
game.
I know we got like three callers already. It's cool. It's cool.
That's what happens when you start telling people you don't vote for president. They call to yell at you.
I know.
It's
that's
awesome.
Probably it because that's the top down. That's the one choice I do know, and I do exercise my vote. It's amazing you focus on like city council. It's weird.
Because you know what? That's where all the real governing happens.
All government is local.
Real governing happens at the local level. You know what? They're never going to really make any substantial changes to the tax code. They're never really going to make substantial changes to education. They're never really going to make substantial changes in, you know, I mean, what was the last great, like, and I mean, I don't mean great as in, yay, it's good. I mean,
healthcare
great as
bill.
In wide.
That kind
there's,
of passed,
there's a
sort
lot
of
economic
sort
debate on the nature of the health bill.
Oh, it's going to cost an arm and a leg.
It's, I mean, there is definitely some
discussion
about.
Have you ever been
about,
to the DMV?
I know, right?
Have you ever been to a doctor's office?
I love, well, it's like
mix,
the old George Carlin
enjoy.
Joke. It's like the old George Carlin joke where he talks about the donor list for the organ donor list. It's on the driver's license. You know what? I got to wait in line that
443,
fucking long.
443, we hear you. You're there. I just can't hear the caller. 443, hello? Are you there?
Keith.
Yes, sir. Who is this?
What's up, brother?
Is this Pat fucking motherfucker?
Hey, motherfucker. What are you doing?
I love you, man.
Pat motherfucker. What nationality?
Wait, who is this?
Who do you think? Come on, Keith.
Tell
there
me.
This is.
All right, right or left.
The only motherfucker you know in the 443 area code.
I don't know what 443. I'm
where is 443?
213, 323, 818.
Maryland Terps, baby.
Yeah, I love you, brother. I always love talking about Bowie. My favorite
little
fairyland.
I'm sitting here listening to you guys talk, and Keith, you know what? You're my friend, and you know what, dude? I'm not going to go there because then I'll mix friendships and politics.
No, go there because we can. Me and you, Pat, see eye to eye, but we might check a different box on the ballot. It's cool. I love you. Say it. Please say it. This is good talk radio.
Okay, but what I understand is that, you know, everybody, now, before all this election came into view, I was never really into the politics and into everything. But once I started reading and learning and watching and understanding and seeing how shit works, it's pretty fucking scary. And, you know.
How do you mean?
Did you guys own, either one of you guys own a gun?
No, I gave
up Georgia.
Two.
I'll answer that question that way. I'm from Georgia.
I guess that's a yes. I used
gun.
To, Pat, I used to in 89 to like 93 or 4, I think.
Yeah.
No, actually, I sold them in 97.
Now, let me go back for a second. Your guest there said that, you know, that the Congress, the Senate and all that, they run the country.
Right. No, he just said the executive branch doesn't have as much power as we think it does.
Right. Well, actually,
we run the country. We run the country with our voice, our guns, and our purchasing dollars.
But what I'm saying is, do you know who the only president in history to have signed 110 executive orders within 4 years? You know who that was?
Obama.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, he's outpaced Bush, and I was scared. Under Bush regime, I was scared. I looked at all the executive orders. They were talking about fucking wiretapping and this and sovereignty and going over here and spying. And the thing, and I talked about this with Pat back in the day, we don't spy on Americans. We don't.
We're not supposed to.
No, and the UK and Tony Blair, they don't spy on... Wait, is he still in power? Who's the...
No.
I'm here.
Who's the...
Tony Blair's gone.
Who's
dude.
The Prime Minister of United Kingdom? Do you know?
Some whiny prick. Anyway.
Three guys come to St. Peter's Gate after being killed in a terrible train accident.
David Cameron.
David who?
David Cameron.
Is he
Prime Minister.
He Labour or is he...
Conservative.
He's conservative. Interesting. No, Pat, go on.
Wait, let me get to this. My point is that, you know, last week when we lost those... the ex-Navy SEAL, who lost the ambassador, and we lost two other people from that embassy.
Yeah, did you notice that they killed it with diesel fuel and they burned the fucking site?
Well, I'll tell you why that happened.
I know, Waco style. It was to kill the evidence.
No, it's what happened. My point is that plane came into where I work, and you know where I work and who I work for.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting there watching them pull those caskets, pull those doors open and pull the caskets out and all this. And then after it's all said and done, going back and reading all the emails that were released asking for more security, dude, they didn't have bullets in their gun to protect themselves.
We got warnings before 9/11 and they didn't defend. They didn't activate. There was a golfer whose plane, what was his name? Payne or something like that? Whose plane went off course for fucking 2 minutes and they're like all over him with fucking F-14s. And yet they allowed four hijacked planes to crash into 3 out of 4 targets. What this says to me is that it's possible that it's not people planning and this, oh, they was false flag and they attacked themselves. No. But they could have had foreknowledge of something and for political reasons allowed it to happen.
This isn't the first time. It was the same way with Pearl Harbor.
Just go watch.
What do you think of Al Gore's excuse for Obama's performance in the debate about the high altitude?
Hold on, real quick,
what do you think of that?
I do want to return to your point about executive orders.
Fucking awesome.
Congress has the power to beat those executive orders back.
Wait, who?
They did so. Congress.
Somebody should let Al Gore know, not Al Gore, but they should let Biden know. He should get there a couple days earlier. Just in case, I'm kind of concerned about them.
Right. Wait, when has the Congress ever repealed executive order or examined
President Obama them? Signed 3 orders to close Guantanamo Bay. Congress beat back all 3 of them.
They don't repeal them. He just signs them and that's it. There's no questions asked. They don't have that. Once he signs the executive order, it's a done deal.
How much do we pay to have Guantanamo Bay to Fidel Castro or his brother? What, $500 million a year, is the contract? It's been ongoing, and that was how much it was back in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now they're like, could we renegotiate?
I mean, now do you agree that we should be sending $450 million to Saudi Arabia?
No, we should send Saudi, yes, because of the oil connections. Israel, yes, because of the, if you look on a map, and the best way to look on a map strategically is not how you've always looked at it. The best way to look on a map is turn it upside down 180 degrees. You get a fresh perspective. Now, look at key points where you want strategic fucking control. You're going to find things like the Chesapeake Bay, mm-hmm. the Gulf of fucking Mexico,
mm-hmm.
The Gulf of Oman, the Gulf of fucking the Gulf.
I've been to all those places, is what I'm saying. I mean, I've been to Israel. I've been to the Red Sea, the Persian Gulf. I've been to the Suez Canal. I've been to all that shit. But my point is that why are we giving the money? You know what? We have all this grain that we send over there, all this rice, all the shit that they can't grow over there.
I know. We're giving them money because of Hillary Clinton sits in front of them, goes, on the left hand, do you want a bread basket? Or on the right hand, do you want the fucking thunderbolt of Zeus? And they go, we'll take the bread basket.
But this isn't new. We sell all American grown tomatoes to China for $1 a piece, and we buy Mexican tomatoes for 3 cents a piece. It's
good
a global
move.
Economy, man. It's
if that was a board game, I'd be like, good score, man.
I mean, this is the nature of free markets. This is the way.
Yeah, but how
wait, they grow them with their water?
They
how can I look
everything.
At my kids and say, hey, capitalism, man, do capitalism. Capitalism's the best. When fucking China owes our ass.
Have your kids open a lemonade stand, and if the local constable comes down and shuts it down, you know where you stand. But then do it. Do it licensed. Do it this and filter the water and charge $3 a fucking cup. I love what Romney said about not wanting to borrow from China to pay for Big Bird. There are certain things we shouldn't be borrowing from. The wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are two of them. But if you think about it, World War II has been over for 60 years. We still have freestanding troops in Germany, 8,000. Mm-hmm. Freestanding troops in Italy, 6,000 maybe.
South Korea.
Oh, thank you. Every time we topple someone like the Japanese, or we topple someone like Saddam Hussein, we wind up fighting mop-up fights like Vietnam, Korea, and the current fights in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right,
yep. Wait, what did you serve? What was your rank?
I was in the Navy. I was Desert Storm 90-94. I served in the Red Sea and the Persian Gulf, both theaters.
See, that was the first time we really did take, after 20 years, our equipment, which wasn't designed for the Middle East. And there was tons of problems with both kinds of helicopters out there. And that was most of the deaths were involved in flights.
Well, I was on aircraft care, so I was pretty much, I was, you know, pretty much in the ocean.
Sweet.
But, you know, it's, I don't know, Keith, it's just, it's a mess. I mean, it's like, I want my kids to vote. I want them to like, if, I told them, I said, if you guys want to vote, you know, in like a mock election, yeah, I want you to sit down. I want you to actually watch the debate and listen to these two talk and listen to what, and make up your own decision. I'm not going to do it for you.
Well, how do you feel about Gabe not voting for president, but voting for every other office?
Dude, my brother's gay, so I've got
How do you feel about Gabe, our co-host, voting for every other office, but he doesn't vote for president? He leaves it blank. How do you feel about that?
Well, that's okay. It's because, you know what? That's the freedom of America. We have the ability to vote what we want. We can do that. Thing is, if he doesn't vote for president, he can't bitch about it. He can't say a fucking word.
Oh, no, I disagree with that. I disagree with that completely. You know, I agree with George Carlin. If you vote for president, you don't have a right to bitch about who's elected because you participated in the process that got him there. It's the people who actually participate in the process that elects a president. Those are the folks. You drove the car. You got us to the wrong destination. You don't get to bitch. I, however, did not participate in the election. I watched everybody else get screwed, and unfortunately, I got screwed along with it. But I didn't participate. Therefore, I have the right to complain because I wasn't in the car. I didn't drive the car. I didn't get that guy in office.
Why don't you feel the need to vote for president? Why is that? It's a right that our men and women overseas are fighting for your right to vote.
And I do vote. I also don't believe in participating in a broken system, because by participating in a broken system, you validate that system.
Now, yeah, but the broken system is in your eyes only.
No, it's not in my eyes only. I'm not the only one who thinks it's broken. And I'm not saying that no one should vote for president. I fully support other people who decide to participate in that particular part of the election. If they don't feel like it's broken, then they are welcome and encouraged to go do so. But I don't feel like casting my ballot for a president. I actually don't feel like casting almost anybody's ballot for president.
It's like paying a hooker for a hug.
You know, no, it's like shouting at the deaf. Your voice is simply not heard. And No, but see, that's the thing, is I disagree with you. I don't believe it is.
And that's the freedom. You have the right to disagree.
Exactly. Exactly. And as I've said a couple times, and I'll say it over and over again, is I'm not dictating to anybody else whether or not they should do it. And I believe with all of my heart, if someone believes in the system, then they better go out and vote. If they believe that it works, then it is your responsibility to participate. But if you do not believe that it works and you participate anyway, that I have a problem.
Well, I've always done that. But 4 years ago, I talked to many people I worked with, and they said they weren't registered. I couldn't believe that. And they were still bitching and moaning. This year, nobody I've talked to isn't registered. They're all ready to go and do their duty. So please do. Please go to, what is this map I'm looking at? Oh, the upside down world.
It's the upside down map.
Yeah, look at it. What points would you pick? What are you saying to me in whisper mode? What? Check my email?
Yeah, it's. I sent it to you so that you could have it.
Oh, I
like
that. Thank you. Thank you, Gabe. We'll post this on the the call sheet Facebook page, which is facebook.com/thecallsheet. Pat, how you doing?
Sir.
How you doing? You surviving?
Good? I'm taking all this in. It's like, if you're not going to, if you believe that the system is flawed, okay, I understand it. The system is the system. It's both sides, okay? So if you're not going to vote for president, why vote for everything else if the system's so flawed?
Because all government is local.
And on top of
it,
that,
it depends on how your LAPD, how your King County fucking, what was the police department around Bowie?
Pat?
PG County.
Yeah, they were. I think they were voted like the most corrupt police in all. Yeah, actually, I got, an officer gave me a get out of jail free card. If you're driving along the highway, you're pulled over. Yes,
the county executive right now is serving 15 years for for embezzlement.
We have a city councilman who's doing the same.
What was the name of the guy? Was it Blagojevich who tried to sell Barack Obama's seat?
He tried to sell Obama's seat.
Yeah, he did time. Like, then he did a reality show.
I mean, come on.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. His wife was on it. He was in jail, and he stuck his wife on fucking national TV to answer all the questions. What a sucker.
And to answer your question, Patrick.
What about Wiener in New York?
I don't believe the entire system is broken. Different elections work different ways. I believe the system we have for electing a president is broken. And so that's why I don't participate in that.
How is it system? Broken?
It's broken in a lot of ways. The current version of the two-party system is not at all what was framed by the founders. The Electoral College is obsolete.
The Republicans have changed a bit since 1980.
Yeah.
Okay. The Reagan years are over. And they're now fucking Nazis.
They're
Nazis. Kill the homos. Don't let them kill babies, crazy. But kill a grown adults. You know? Kill them.
But it's that, for example, the way funds are raised for a presidential election.
I love you, Pat, by the way. And I love you too, Gabe.
You know,
Jeremy, I love you too, man.
You know what I would love to see? You know what I would really love to see? I would love to see someone run for president and only spend what it costs to travel from state to state to put themselves on the ballot and then nothing else.
Are you saying TV doesn't matter? Web ads don't matter?
I got two emails from Romney this year. I almost threw up. You don't spend the kind of money these guys are spending on the president.
What'd you say?
I kind of agree with them in a way. Because I think that if you put a cap, let's say like the NFL players, they have a cap on their salaries. Like a presidential cap should be, okay, you have $5 million, you're each given $5 million. Okay? Fuck all the electoral colleges and all that bullshit. You know what?
Yep.
If you're an American and you vote for whoever you want and you combine all the totals of votes, fuck the electoral bullshit. Just people vote. Like you're running for high school class president.
Yep.
Everybody goes and votes.
Pat, listen to this. After executive and Congress and Senate and House take their offices, they're paid a huge salary, $1 million a year instead of the $50,000 wherever it is token. But they're not allowed to take any lobbyist money. So you pay them more, but disconnect the corporate influence.
By the way, let's take a look at this wildly inappropriate thing.
What?
Do you know who writes the laws on campaign fundraising?
Oh, God damn it. I just read this. I've had too many beers.
It's not the FEC. It's Congress. People who are running for office write the laws on how you can raise money to run for office.
Any business calls you, you can say, do not call this. Get the fuck off me. I don't want to be hear about this. Surveys, this,
yeah,
that.
But they're technically a nonprofit organization.
They'll still respect that. Presidential campaigns or Congress or whatever, there's no fucking do not call list. Mm-hmm. There's a yeah, maybe 2 weeks later, we'll get in touch with you. They give themselves the easiest laws on restricting your privacy.
Mm-hmm.
They use third parties to find your phone number.
Mm-hmm.
If you donate to them and you leave your phone number blank or put a fake phone number, no, they'll use your name and your address and your giving history, all this other shit, your Visa information. They will find you and they will call you at your number, and they paid good money for that.
Oh, yeah. Not to mention the fact that political action committees or PACs or super PACs, they're not allowed to collaborate directly with the campaign, but the people who run them are top aides to the candidates. You know, the guy running Barack Obama's super PAC is his former campaign manager from 2008.
Is that like the interim president of SAG, having worked for the producers for 5 years before?
Exactly.
And co-opting a new contract and fucking all actors and performers and dancers and singers and mimes and clowns. Sorry. Yes, Pat?
Let me ask you a question now.
420 left in the show.
What's your guest name again? I'm sorry.
My name is Gabe. Gabe Romero.
Gabe, let me ask you, have you ever heard of Andrew Breitbart?
No, I don't think I have.
Breitbart, he died.
Okay, he died. Now listen, this is where I'm getting at.
He died a day before he was about to reveal some shit on Obama.
Okay, now right, now guess what?
Yeah.
The gentleman that gave the autopsy on him on how he died.
Yeah.
Died before he released the autopsy.
I love it. That cover your tracks of your tracks. Jack Ruby fucking, totally. That's great. I love it. Thank you, Pat.
I say, so, I mean, if you got something to hide, man, you know what I mean? Obviously, you have a lot of shit to hide if people are dying over it. Look what happened to Ron Brown. Look what happened to the dude in the Clinton administration.
They have over 50 deaths attributed to the Clinton administration from being pushed in front of buses or poisoned or fucking suicided. It's good stuff. Look it up. Just type in 50 deaths of the Clinton administration and you'll see the articles.
Clinton, Whitewater, all that shit.
Yeah, Whitewater.
So I'm just saying, the Andrew Breitbart thing, he was the biggest right-wing conservative dude on the planet. I mean, this guy had dirt on Obama that would make his fucking head spin.
Yeah, and he wasn't sold out like David Icke, or he wasn't sold out like Rents or what really happened, or James Rivero, what was the guy with the pirate stuff, Art Bell. This guy is pure. He was pure as could be. Yeah.
But before I hang up, I just want you all to say one thing to you. Both of you tonight, I want you to go home, hop on your computer, and look up Agenda 21.
Ooh, and read up on it. All over that. And yesterday, the Hillary Clinton spoke about world sterilization. They've already released a corn. There's a genetically modified corn that sterilizes males. So for years, it's always been women's contraceptive and this, and men have never taken the burden of contraception. Well, they're releasing it wild, and you know how GMO foods, and California, by the way, has a big vote on labeling GMO foods. They're releasing a GMO food that sterilizes males. It'll sterilize about 20%, the same number that Romney wants to reduce taxes. Right now, they're trying to take our 6 billion people and 90 billion projected by 2050. They're trying to trim it down because it's too many of us.
They're
so right now, it's all about population control, right? Am I right, Pat?
Yeah, you are 100% correct.
Thank you. So watch out for Agenda 21, population control. Watch what you eat. Buy organic. Demand that they label it if it's not. Because I don't want to eat some fucking chicken or corn or some shit. It's going to leave me sterile.
Well,
Gabe,
I mean,
any feedback,
I'm
or am I off on the
ball,
conspiracy theorist loop?
Gabe
thinks I'm too much of a conspiracy theorist, but I'm just
wild. I definitely think you're a little nuts, but I just don't eat corn. That's not that hard.
Keith, Gabe, I got to run. It was a pleasure, you guys, and I look forward to next Saturday.
Gabe, thanks for, Pat, thanks for calling and thanks for hanging in during our gray space. Every time I try to talk about something really important, I do get disconnected. Do you hear the interference right now? Something happens and disconnects me. So thanks for hanging in there, Pat. Listening, everybody, to The Call Sheet, Tales of the Bone Machine, live from Los Angeles, California, downtown.
Don't forget, before we sign off, don't forget, if you go to YouTube, you search Poor Fish Entertainment, you'll find our videos. Vote Noir, Vote Suspense. We've got a new one that we're going to upload this coming week.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening, and thanks for calling in. We missed two of the callers, and they were from interesting area codes. Thanks for calling.
I don't know how
share,
interesting North Hollywood and Burbank are.
Retweet, fucking comment, and like. Love you all.